none gathered, while many stand idle and wait. The harvest time soon will be ended, for garnering them tis too late. O soul, prove thy love to the Savior, for what he has done unto thee, by sending the tidings of mercy to lost ones o'er land and o'er sea. They perish, they perish, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
Good morning, friends. Good morning. Certainly in the midst of a changing world and changing times, it's good to have something solid to rest on. And I base my conviction and hope and promise of eternal life on this scripture, which says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. I like that. Thank the Lord he doesn't change with the fashions and times of the men and the world. And God's love is the same. Doesn't matter which way the wind blows from, God loves us just the same. He said there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of course, our Savior Christ came into the world in a very humble manner, and he doesn't change either. He's the same today. He loves us all. He's working to get everyone to heaven who will allow him to do so. But on this day of December the 7th, my mind goes back to another day. I wonder if you'd go back with me a little in the history of our country to December the 7th, 1941. This would be what is known as Pearl Harbor Day. But before we get to that, let's get a little background to bring us up to that point. In 1938, Austria fell to the ultimatum given by Hitler and his powerful army of the Germans. Czechoslovakia came under the threat and promise of peace. She went down. Then there was Poland in 1939 who succumbed to the blitzkrieg of the German forces. Britain and France declared war on Germany. Then in April 1940, Denmark and Norway bowed to Hitler and the German war machine. Luxembourg fell in a day and Holland in six. Churchill told the people of England, and I quote, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. But I take up my task with buoyancy and hope. I feel sure that our cause will not be suffered to fall among men." End of quote. I wish more people had that kind of a decision for God. Churchill was in trouble, and he knew it. King Leopold surrendered the Belgian army in May 1940. Shortly thereafter, the allies of British, French, and Poles were trapped in a corner of southern Belgium and northern France, their backs to the sea and Germans on all sides. Some of the older listeners may remember a place called Dunkirk. Well, it was here the famous evacuation took place from May 26th to June 3rd, 1940. This Allied pocket had become a death trap. But out of this trap came a miracle. From England came boats of all descriptions. It is estimated that there were a total of 887 vessels. Some vessels were small and some big. What a variety of captains, all the way from Navy to taxi drivers, Sea Scouts, longshoremen, butchers, Sunday sailors. These boats, some of which capsized, some collided, and some went awash, but they kept coming until 338,226 soldiers were rescued from Dunkirk. But before leaving this thought, Please allow me to quote from Winston Churchill once again. Wars are not won by evacuations, he said. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender, end of quote. Oh, for such a decision for God and the gospel. We're not fighting for material gain or the things of the world, but this is a spiritual warfare that we, the children of God, are in. In the meantime, relations were not too good between the United States and Japan. Tensions were building. There were threats of war. On December the 7th, 1941, two representatives from Japan, Karusu and Nomura, asked to see Secretary of State Cordell Hull. He agreed to a meeting with them at 1:45 p.m. It was not good news they had for him, and whether they met or not, I don't know for sure. But in the meantime, a large fleet of Japanese bombers were winging their way toward Pearl Harbor. It was in the early morning hours out there. Private Joseph Lockhart saw on his radar scope a fleet of aircraft approaching at a distance of 137 miles, but he was assured it must certainly be a flight of incoming American planes, so he went on to breakfast. But it so happened, these Japanese bombers caught those battleships of the United States totally unprepared to go into combat. There were eight of them, just like sitting ducks lined up in a row. The bombs began to fall. Explosions followed. The battleship Arizona was hit directly and went to the bottom of the harbor with some 1,000 men aboard. Seven other ships, that is, were severely damaged. Wonder how many of the listeners remember that day. It was on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, just like today, Sunday, December 7th, 1975. That was exactly 34 years ago. I remember where I was, eating dinner with some friends in their home. The news began to pour in over the radio of the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. The total extent of the damage was not known for some time. But the nation was stirred perhaps as it had not been before or since in many years. We've learned many things since then. The atomic bomb came into existence. Thousands were destroyed in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Japan in 1945. Germany fell to the Allies and surrendered. Japan surrendered to the Allies, represented by General MacArthur of the Allies, of course, in that same year. Since then, there have been other days of heartaches and bloodshed in Korea and South Vietnam and around the world. Also, there came the days of glory for a nation when Neil Alden Armstrong, 28 years of age, took his first step on the moon, July 20th, 1969. He said, and I quote, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, end of quote. I ask you honestly, to where and to what has mankind leaped? He has learned many things, yes, this cannot be denied, but is he closer to God for the learning? Listen to this verse as I can almost visualize the aged Apostle Paul who had hazarded his life for the gospel, and he's now writing to the young evangelist Timothy. He spoke of certain people who were, and I quote, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Oh, how can it be that they who are so learned, so educated and wise in the ways of the world, so seldom ever learn to come to the knowledge of Christ? Another scripture. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Jeremiah 8:7. But I will tell you what many are doing in this day of advanced learning. Listen, once again from Jeremiah, who describes it so vividly. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah 2:13. Friends, what you need is more than a profession. You need a personal knowledge that you've been redeemed from your sins and the Christ of the Bible is real in your life. Notice once again this scripture which speaks about broken cisterns. Oh, how many folks have a profession of knowing and serving God, but it's just like a broken cistern. There's no genuine salvation in it. It's just a show, a put-on, something perhaps for business advantages or for social reasons, and that's not going to take them through. Let us look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank you today that amidst all the heartache and the turmoil of a nation's who are perplexed and in trouble and are looking for peace, we're glad that there is peace and contentment in thee. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the word of our Savior. There's rest and peace in him. Bless each listener out of the broadcast today in the way which they need comfort, and encourage every heart to press on for thee. Save those who are lost and who will be saved. We'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we may be a help to you in some spiritual way, be sure to let us know. We appreciate those who help us keep the message on the air from week to week. Address your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. God bless and keep you each one. And now, this song.
When the sun of life grows dim, I will still belong to him. He will still be all to me. Far beyond the realm of time, I'll be his and he'll be mine. Ever with the Lord shall I be. Now he is everything to me, and he will always be. All I'll ever need, his love will satisfy till the day I die and through eternity. Until at last with him I stand in the heavenly land, he will walk with me. He's living in my heart.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, God bless and keep you, and a very cheerful goodbye.